Welcome everybody on a very special day today. So people who really could make it, I really say thank you very much. I know how much risk and hard to come on a very snowy day and icy road. And I'd like to welcome everybody. And if you are a guest today, it's all our warm welcome to you. And we thank God you are here with us. So please add your name to the welcome bed at the center aisle, passing in the long row back again, so we can know you are here, and we love to stay in touch with you. For the announcement, I have some, and if you have any, please take the microphone and share it with us. As most of you know, Pastor Chris on sabbatical until January 25th, so we already miss her very much, but we wish her a wonderful, peaceful time and recharging for energy when she comes back to be with us. I'm not here from January 2nd to January 7th, but Pastor David Shire and Murray Blackadar will be available for pastoral care. And their phone numbers on, if you see the insert in the bulletin, their phone number is available. So on January 13th, not this coming week, the week after, we will have a kind of like open session. I'm trying to find a way to get to know people in less formal way, more friendly and more comfortable way. So it will be an open session for any kind of question. There is no forbidden question. You can ask any question, and hopefully I will have a little bit to share with you. So if you can't, just kind of like your schedule is very busy, you can schedule with me a cup of coffee or whatever. So this will be a good chance for you to be already here and kind of like get in touch and get to know each other and also know how to work together in the future. Next week, Reverend Janice Manick will lead the worship and the communion will be served too. So if you have anything to share, please. Any other announcement? It's hard day. Please lift your heart to the Lord with me and remember the words that God told us. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as the psalmist said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the bower that saves me, and my place of safety. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose of which I sent it. This is what the Lord says: be just and fair to all. Do what is right and good, for I am coming soon to rescue you and to display my righteousness among you. Jesus Christ is the same today and yesterday and today and forever. And as we are heading for the invitation for confession, just remember God told us he has an open door to say whatever in our hearts and our mind, even to confess sins we are not aware of, because he is just and fair. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, because he is fair and just. And now it's time of silence to reflect and to pray for our needs and our sins. And now it's time to confess our needs in silence and asking God for some awareness and some help for this day. And now let us together say the prayer of confession. O Holy One, we call to you and name you as eternal, ever present and boundless in love. Yet there are times, O God, when we fail to recognize you in the routine of our lives. Sometimes shame clenches tightly around our hearts and we hide our true feelings. Sometimes fear makes us small, and we miss the chance to speak from our strength. Sometimes doubt invades our hopefulness, and we degrade our own wisdom. Holy God, in the daily round from sunrise to sunset, remind us again for your holy presence, hovering near us and in us. Free us from the shame and self-doubt. Help us to see you in the moment by moment. Possibility to live honestly, to act courageously, to speak from our wisdom. Amen. Song of Confession, number 41, verse 1. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthens you in all goodness, and by the power of Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. And now I know this is a very special thing, happen maybe once a year when the congregation get the chance to actually choose something to sing. So it's a congregational choice now for your favorite. It's a Christmas song, or I just learned that this is was something happened years before, so trying to keep the tradition running. So if you have a favorite hymn, just please let us know. Be the number. Can you help us with the number? Somebody can risk us and tell us the number. 31. we still have, we can take another song, another hymn. So, 57. The snow lay on the ground. That's very appropriate. Now it's time to share our joy and concern.
Anyone? My whole family is here from Texas for Hugo's baptism, and we're very happy about that.
Welcome, Susan's family. Anyone else? I would like to ask prayers for my my grandfather lost his sister on Friday night. My aunt Alma Bowers, the family of Alma Bowers. My father is Leroy Marburger. My grandfather, I'm sorry. Any other joys, concerns? Oh, Joanne.
I'd like to have prayers for my daughter-in-law's mother. She's in assisted living, and she has cancer, skin cancer on her breast, and she refuses to let the doctors operate. So I would just like to have a prayer that she will please give the doctors permission to operate.
What's her name?
Alice.
I would like to ask prayers for my family and also prayers for a friend of the family who is going through immigration problems one after the other. His name is Paul Quay.
I'd like to thank the congregation for always praying for my brother Jim down in Pennsylvania. He's been very good for the last few months and enjoys a real quality of life, and that is a blessing. Thank you.
I'd like to ask prayers for a friend of Zach and I. His name is Dixon. He traveled to the U.S. to spend Christmas with his family, and while he was here, his mother died in Liberia yesterday. And his name is Dixon.
Prayers for Dixon. Anyone else? Okay. Short list today.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, we thank you for this moment where we come in front of you and bring our honest thoughts and needs and concerns. And we thank you because in Jesus Christ you became one of us who can understand and share our suffering and our humanity, can understand the two sides of our life when life is full of joy or full of troubles, or sometimes both at the same time. And we thank you because you are God of humanity and you are God of love and care. And we believe you are listening to us carefully now. When we put all our needs, the one you just heard, and we are repeating again to say we are really serious about these prayers. We thank you today for Hugo's baptism, and as we later we'll enjoy and do the rituals. We pray for the family, and we thank you, God, for the families visiting, and we ask for safety for returning back. And we thank you, God, for Alice, and we ask you because you promised in our troubles you will be with us. Our Heavenly Father, you came before us with all the troubles and pain experienced by your people everywhere. And today we are putting these people in our church in your presence. Come, healing Spirit, and change us and open our hearts to feel and our eyes to see. Our Father, we are asking you to look at our pain, if it's physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and take care of all of them. Remove all the pain and fill us with peace and comfort and joy. And let us live this Christmas season with your love and with your joy. We pray for Alice and with her struggling with the cancer, and we know you will be with her. You will be with her to go through it day by day and help her for acceptance and help her to understand and see what's really behind the scene. We pray today for Letitia's family, and we thank you, God, for everybody in her family. And we're asking for strength and for care. And also we pray for their friend who is really struggling with the immigration, Paul. And we're asking you, God, to help them to go through this sometimes hard and frustrating process and to understand your wisdom behind it. We pray for Luma and her friend, Nixon. So God, comfort him and be with him because as it's hard to be far away and hard to know somebody close to our heart just pass away. And how hard that is, and you can understand the feeling and the struggle. We pray for Julia's friend and just to be with them and just to help to let them go through this life day by day. And we thank you, God, because we lift every day our body and our soul and our spirit. So heal our sickness, and we pray especially for those we mentioned in our concerns right now. We're asking you for blessing, grace, love, and safety. We pray for the healing of mind, body, and spirit of those who are going through the health problems and for those who care for them. We also ask you to be close to those who have lost somebody, or even these holidays trigger the memory of somebody they lost from a long time ago. Comfort them and be with them. We pray for our church members and for our mission to be really a house of prayer, to be a house full of hope and joy, and to direct people to the right direction. And we ask all this in your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Today we are not having a children message, and I think we are not also having a children class. Is this true? So nobody leaves. Everybody stay here, okay? We have room for you, so don't worry. So we'll skip this part and just go to the reading, and Philip will do the reading.
Good morning. Today's Old Testament reading is Isaiah 51, verses 11 to 14. It's in your Pew Bibles on page 641 in large print, 834. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I am he who comforts you. Why then are you afraid of a mere mortal who must die, a human being who fades like grass? You have forgotten the Lord, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor who is bent on destruction. But where is the fury of the oppressor? The oppressed shall speedily be released. They shall not die and go down to the pit, nor shall they lack bread. The New Testament lesson is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. It's on your any Pew Bible on page 2 and large print page 2. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
As you heard the first reading, when the reader was telling us, God told, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. I always hope this prophecy was about me, but it wasn't about me. It was about Jesus Christ. As far as I'm Egyptian, but it's not. It was about Jesus Christ. Today, I'd like to, as I'm hoping for our preaching during this Sunday and the next couple Sundays in the whole January, how really to keep Christmas alive and not just it's okay, it's time now to wrap things up, take the Christmas tree and things getting down. It's kind of like Christmas only stand for 1 week. But I think there is another element I like really to refer to. When people think Christmas is about joy and happiness and laugh and all these positive things. And I heard this before from many people, many Christians say, Christmas is not my time and not my time of joy. Because Christmas brings bad memories. Or because that's the time when they lost somebody. And they feel like, I don't want to be the guy or the person just come to a church and tell them about my struggle and my sadness and just can't make everybody sad. So I'm going to stay away from the scene. I'm not part of the scene. But I think this is not accurate compared to what the Holy Spirit wrote down to us in the Bible, the way we saw that about Jesus as the top moment of Jesus being really born and being saved, and we are not going to talk about the other bad side of the story, about the kids who were slaughtered, the innocent kids who were really lost their life, while we have Mary and Joseph enjoying the hope and this moment was on the other side. Families were weeping and crying. And I think this is encouraging us to remember our life is about both. We are not called to weep all the time, and we are not called to also have a fake joy. I think God is interested in us to be, when really Jesus is born, just enjoy it fully and 100%. And when we lose an innocent, and when we lose anybody, we should also admit our feeling as a human being. And I know everybody, maybe once I read this scripture, think, oh, Pastor Medhat is going to speak about the massacre in Newtown. I'm not actually going to speak about the massacre in Newtown. And because it's not the only bad things happen in the world. And maybe it's shocking because it happened too close. And it's not in the third world. And not in a place where far away from home. Even for us as Rhode Island people, that's really very close. It doesn't even happen far south or north. It's really close in every meaning. And I think the story was shocking to see how much evil could do and how much evil could be very close. And it's kind of really waking up the fear. What about me? What if this was me as a teacher or a child? And I think when we need to speak about the sadness, we need to speak about the sadness and the loss of every human life everywhere. And I think the story about Jesus Christ is being born is not only enjoying his own gift, is like, I am here, I'm fine, and I'm safe, thanks to the Lord. And please forget Jesus Christ as the divine. Think of Jesus Christ, the human being. He carried these children in his heart. And I believe this story shaped his memory. As Jesus was biased to the most vulnerable people, the women, the poor, and on the top of them, the children. That was a very radical change when Jesus Christ asked the children to come close to him. And every time he will try to teach us to be a good people, he will bring the children's hearts as a model to tell us that's the model you have to work with. This is the top model, children. They are not just small creatures running around, the useless, wait until they grow up and be something and hold a big career or hold a big position and then respect them. They are loved by God. Because you people, you wait until to see how they behave when they are old. But the way they behave now, it's the way they understand life. They are so innocent. And then this story about how really when we are enjoying our moment is to remember other people. And 2 years ago when I was at Mayo Clinic, one visit was a lady who was really celebrating her husband getting a liver transplant, and that's actually was the second liver transplant. And the outcomes, they were actually a young couple, and she was very happy. And the question she asked me was very interesting about, I'm concerned going on Facebook and write these down, because I know other people who are going through the same process. They got different result. And they were, if you know the Caring Bridges and all these groups, was like you have at least 500 people on the page and they are really waiting to hear everything on the case. And with the technology, it's actually updating like second by second now. So it's amazing. But this story is stuck in my mind. It's like, you have overwhelming joy, but at the same time, you are concerned about other people. I mean, I see the joy is popping out of your face, your heart, everywhere, and if I was in your position, I would be more crazy than you. And having a room to think about other people who are not really enjoying the same privilege. That's something touched my heart. And I said, you are teaching me, I'm not the chaplain, you are the chaplain here in this. You are the spiritual care provider in this scene and not me. Because you taught me something and you touched my heart. And I think the story today is about that. It's about an overwhelming joy or happiness or getting really a great opportunity. Even having a moment to think about others. What does a Christmas mean for a patient with a new diagnosis? For a person with a family who lost their beloved one, regardless if it's young or old, it's after long struggle with a disease or just a sudden death. Loss is loss. For a person staying far away from their families and they cannot be physically with them. For a child with no parents and waiting for somebody to take care of them. For a person who lost, as we said, their beloved one. This question makes it very difficult to pick a text. It looks like that really dark. Why do you want to even read this text to us? It's so depressing. It's so hard. But if God gave it to us, there is a reason for that. And I'm imagining if really the writer of our Bible were trying to make the Christianity joyful and wonderful and easy thing, just everything is bright. They could do that. They had the chance to write everything good. But the reality, this is not the true life. The true life is death and life walk together. Health and sickness walk together. So I think God is interested in the people to live their real life in one hand holding the hope, and in the other hand say, here is my troubles, here is my concern. And I was very hesitant to use actually this text many times. But I think this text is a joy to know one day was very dark, but the other day Jesus used these people, these innocent children, to fight for them. As we know, many freedoms in the world born because of how many people struggled and even paid their life for it. And today, we see this model of a ruler who is a dictator who will do everything to stay on his seat. And this is the model of Christianity saying, this is not we are hoping for you to be. Here is Christianity is about Christ. He was saved, but never ignored the people who weren't saved. And here is a guy, a Herod, who will do everything on earth to go to his mission, to stay on his seat. He will kill everybody. He will do anything with no challenge. And which model do we want to be as Christians? And today, as we talked about this story is about the dark and the light side of our human life. Life is full of health and well-being, joy and sorrow, hope and disappointment. In life, there is the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'm sure you remember this name. Christmas brings hope so that we can celebrate the good in all of us. And we can make this year, as we are heading to the new year, a memorable one, not by ignoring, not by focusing only on joy, but there is a joy too on putting hand on reality. Celebrate the good and do what you can to change the bad. Try to find a way to live in peace with what you can't change. I want to remind you of what the angels of the Lord told Joseph. Do not be afraid. And he helped Mary and Joseph to come to an understanding that God is with us. God is Emmanuel. In the midst of all our troublings and all our bad things, the promise is not to live in the world without trouble, but to experience God with us. If we are happy or sad, healthy or sick. Amen. Let us affirm our faith together from the Apostle Creed, page 14. Please join as we affirm our faith with these words from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now we came to a very special moment today, which is Hugo baptism. Is he here?
He's preparing for his moment.
Everybody's here? Okay. Yes. Yes. Every time I'm taking you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to do the rituals today. This is the liturgy for baptism for Hugo Bruce Weber. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promise of God are for you by baptism. God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to a new life. Susan and Mark, in presenting Hugo for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want him to study Jesus, know him, love him, and serve him as a chosen disciple. Show your purpose by answering these questions, and please answer, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend Hugo to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
And to you, the congregation, our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Hugo, the good news of the gospel, to help him know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen his family ties with the household of God? If so, say we do.
Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament, and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit, so that we say, may be your word and what we do be your word. By your power, may we be made on one with Christ, our Lord, in common faith and purpose. Mark and Susan, what is the Christian name of your child? I'll take this away. Hugo, child of God, child of covenant, you are so special for everybody, and you are more special to God. And we believe as the more you grow up, you will understand that. And as we know, as the John the Baptist prepared the road to Jesus Christ to be our Savior, your family, Mark and Susan, with the help of our community, will help you to grow up, to understand and be closer to our Savior Jesus Christ. Hugo Bruce Weber, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It was very peaceful. No crying. Hugo, you are now received and welcomed into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. God bless you and be with you. And church, remember, this is part of our duty and part of our mission to help this family to grow, to help Hugo to grow up in Christ and understand the love and the care we all have for him and for his family. And let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, in your mercy and goodness, you promise that you will be not only our God, but also the God and parents of our children. We humbly pray for your child, Hugo, that your spirit may be upon him and dwell in him forever. Take him under your care and protection, and guide him and bless him in body and soul. Grant him to grow in wisdom and in favor with God and all people. Abundantly enrich him with your heavenly grace. Bring him safely through the perils of childhood. Deliver him from the temptation of youth, and lead him to witness a good confession and to preserve unto the end. O God, our Creator, give unto your servant Mark and Susan, to whom you have given this blessed trust, the assurance of your unfailing providence and care. Guide them with your counsel as they touch and train everybody in their family and all their children, and help them to lead their household into an ever-increasing knowledge of Christ and more steadfast obedience to his will. We commend to your godly care all the children and families of this congregation. Help us in our homes to honor you and by our love to serve one another and our neighbor. And to your name, by all blessing and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks. And now it's time for offering. Thank you. bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace from now and ever. Amen.